got more bills than money. You know, I can't find a job, man. I got some child support I need to pay. Just came home. Nobody want to give me a chance.
What in the world?
What am I supposed to make?
Help.
And this relationship is going to need somebody to help.
Fighting,
should
walk and not be weary.
Won the victory.
running that faith. Don't worry about the struggle. You got the victory. Look to them hills from which cometh your help, man. God got you.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for Word Wednesday. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That your word is rich. Your word is powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you right now for the word. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Even as we are in the midst of this series on faith, family, and finances. God, continue to bless us. Continue to teach us, guide us, and direct us as only you can in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Well, we are so excited tonight as we are continuing our series on faith, family, and finances. Last week, we concluded with the family portion of the series, and tonight we're going to start with the financial piece, and we thank God for this opportunity to even talk about money and finances and alms and giving and receiving. There's so much in the Word of God about finances, and we're just going to look at some scriptures tonight to just, you know, get into what God expects from us and get into what we should know about money and know about giving and understand about finances as it relates to the Word of Almighty God. So with that said, let's go right into the Word of God. There are some scriptures that we would like to go to tonight, but let's go to the Old Testament book, Deuteronomy first. Let's start back in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. To God be the glory. There was so much when the children of Israel was let free out of the slavery, out of the bondage of Pharaoh. God told them that they would not leave empty. They would not leave without. They're not going to just get in the wilderness and start from scratch. But God said they're going to leave wealthy. And as they were exiting Egypt, it said that the people of Egypt broke off gold and bracelets and jewels and all kinds of things and just gave them to the people of God. So they left. One day they were slaves. The next day they had wealth. I said one day they went to bed slaves. The next day they were free and had great wealth. Only God can do that. I say he can turn our financial situation around at any moment. Any given moment, God can do it. That's why I was led to start here in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, looking at verse number 12. It says this, lest when you have eaten and are full, and has built good houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds are multiplied, the silver and the gold is multiplied, all that you have begins to multiply, then your heart will be filled up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt into the land, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Look at verse number 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, God says this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, For it is he that gives us power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is written this day. I believe we all have an opportunity to accumulate wealth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We all have the ability to prosper. We all have the ability to increase and multiply and to grow and to get better established financially. Because he says right here clearly that he has given you and I the ability to get wealth. We have potential, we have the possibility to be wealthy. And he's simply saying jobs and careers and degrees, when we get money, let's not forget God. We have to honor God with our substance. We have to honor God with our money. And many people that I'm talking to, you're tithing, you're giving, you're a sower, and you understand some of the principles, and you possibly have seen them working throughout your life and in your lifetime. And we need to understand that God has biblical principles that he wants us to govern our lives by. To God be the glory. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter number 6. We know at the end it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that we need will be added to us. That's Matthew 6:33. It is quoted a lot, but he's simply saying, go after God, and everything that you need will be added to you. He goes on to tell you and I not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow have enough worries of its own. Sometimes I revisit Matthew chapter 6, but I really want to look just kind of at the money portion as we look at verse 19 and 20, and then verse number 24. Amen. Verse 19 in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, says this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break and steal away. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24 says this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold fast to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is kind of insinuating that money can become a god if we're not careful. Money can become an idol if we are not careful. Money can begin to master us, and we see it in our day. We see people going after money instead of going after God. We see the misuse and abuse of money. We're not going to really get into about the tithing and offering and will a man rob God, but we have to honor God with our money and with our substance. He's asking for that tenth. He's asking for us to give a portion of our increase so that the church can be sustained. But right here, as it relates to money and finances, he said, where your heart is where your money's going to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget Pastor Rebecca and I, we share this testimony often. When we launched the church and God told us, it's time to move out of your living room and go find a property where I want you to begin having worship services. And we had took out of equity. We took out a refinance loan on our home. And we had an increase of some monies and some monies available. And at that time, the church was starting to grow. The church was starting to thrive. But we pretty much started with our family and a few members that we had in our living room. So we purchased chairs, which cost a pretty good amount of money. We had to come up with the payment and the down payment on the property that we did find. We began out of our own resources to pay the monthly lease, which was about $1,400 a month, $1,000 and $400 a month. We began to pay that. So for a long period of time, Pastor Rebecca and I used our own money to help advance New Creation Church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The church began to grow. People were being blessed. People got saved and healed and set free. The city of Elizabeth, we began to fill up those 80 chairs that we purchased. We bought equipment and microphones and things of that nature, music and CDs. We printed up material and advertisement. I'm saying all that to say, out of our own resource, we found enough robbery to give back to God and his work. Hallelujah. And we don't regret any of it. It's been 10 years now we've been a ministry in the church, and we are still here. But in those early years, God blessed us to be a blessing to his church. And I believe the doors of New Creation are still open because we honored him with our money.
Yeah, amen.
I believe he's still favoring us. Sometimes my wife and I pinch ourselves saying, we don't know how he do it, but he keeps doing it. Over and over and over again, he keeps blessing me over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that was a song out years ago. But Pastor Rebecca and I can testify, even the building that we were in, sometimes we fell short with the lease. And the landlord of the property, George Martinez,
go ahead,
would come to us and say, we're just going to forgive 3 months' rent. You're talking about $3,000-$4,000 that this man had due to him. He said, I'm just going to forgive it and talk and act like it's just day one. You guys are great tenants. I want to be a blessing. You're doing kingdom work. I'm monitoring your activity. People are coming to this commercial property. I look through that glass, and you guys are full doing the work of God. I believe that's why the enemy came in and begin to sow discord, because when you're doing the work of God, when you're giving God money, when you're sowing and being faithful with your giving, expect the enemy to try to come in and do something that's not of God. To God be the glory. So where our treasure is, there our heart will be also.
Amen.
The Bible says it's more blessed to give. It's over in the book of Acts. I'm not going to turn there. It's more blessed to give than to receive. To God be all the glory.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, we talk about the law of reciprocity over in Galatians. It says when we sow to the flesh, we reap of the flesh. When we sow to the spirit, we reap of the spirit. Look at Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38. This is one we quote a lot, but it's a true principle. When you think about philanthropists, those who give to charity, those who, you know, your Oprah Winfrey's and Bill Gates and Donald Trump's, those who give big money through charitable contributions, through organizations, they call it benevolence. They call it giving to charitable organizations. But the principle is flawless. The principle works. When you give, it's coming back to you.
Amen.
They may do it for tax write-offs. They may do it for other reasons. They may do it for whatever reason. I don't know. Sometimes the wealthy understands money a little better than those who are not wealthy. But here's a principle that the physician Luke writes about in Luke chapter number 6. Verse number 38, Luke 6, verse number 38 says this, give, and it shall be given back to you. good measure, pressed together, shaken together, and running over, shall men give back to you. For with the same measure that you give, it shall be measured back to you again. I cannot tell you, even the way I got my job was through a third party. And I believe that guy was like an angel from God. 30 years later, I'm still at FedEx making a significant income. But initially, I was not hired. Initially, I failed the entrance test. Initially, they were not going to hire me. But I knew this brother named Stewart who went to his boss and said, this young man, he's willing to work. He has a newborn son. He needs a job. Can you please give him an opportunity? And he called me the same night.
Amen.
That's the favor of God to those who are going to do the right thing with their money. Amen, somebody.
Amen. Amen.
That's how it works. And so many people, that's why I had to go to Deuteronomy first. They get on their feet. They get the car. They get the degree. They get the house and the spouse. And forget God. God, the one that blesses us with everything. The one that gives us a good wife and a good husband. The one that gives us good children and great jobs. The God that gives us the ability to get an undergraduate degree, Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Arts degree. The God that gives us the opportunity to pay the tuition. This God that is full of second chances. Sometimes we forget this God. And God is saying to us tonight, that's why we wanted to talk about finances. If you're a tither, we're preaching to the choir. But if you're not a tither, I pray that you become a tither. I pray that you become a tither. To God be the glory. I wasn't going to go there, but let's go there. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 3. You know, some people, they kind of, you know, cringe when people start turning to Malachi chapter number 3. But that's not my purpose for going here. My purpose for going here is because it's a biblical principle, and we want to understand the character and heart of God and what he expects from us. No, we're no longer under the law. You're absolutely right if you're thinking that. We are no longer under the law. We are under grace.
Amen.
We are under grace. God is not going to strike you down with lightning if you don't tithe. If you don't give a dime or a dollar, God is not going to strike you down dead. But he wants us to give. And let's look at the principle of giving through tithing and the purpose of it as it relates to the tithe. It's just too much to talk about on money, too much to go to. But even in the days of Abraham, when he got wealth and gold and camels and sheep and oxen and silver from Pharaoh, remember he took Sarah and God tormented him in the night with sickness and disease. And when Abraham left, Abraham was already wealthy from his own father's house. But when he left Egypt, Pharaoh gave him even more money. And then he meets Melchizedek, and he gives him a tenth, a tithe, a tenth to the priest of all his increase, a tithe before the law. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, gave God a tenth, and made an oath. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, he made an oath to give a tenth of all that he ever increased on and multiplied with. Jacob, the brother of Esau, brother of the 12 tribes of Israel, gave a tithe, a tenth, way before Moses put it into the law, which we're going to read right now in Malachi chapter number 3. It was a law here and now. But he says this in Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, Where have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this very nation. Verse number 10, the purpose of the tithe. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, the church house, as we would say, that there may be meat in my house, the church. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not have room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I feel like running right now.
Amen.
Even as I'm free of cancer.
Hey, Lord.
Has nothing to do with money. Cancer has nothing to do with tithing. Cancer has nothing to do with FedEx. That disease came to destroy me. But he said, I will rebuke the devourer. The devourer tried to devour me. And God dealt with him. God dealt with the devil that tried to destroy my life. Are you listening to me tonight? The people or the boss that tried to get you fired, God worked it out where you kept your job. Some people tried to undermine you. And maybe you were laid off. Maybe you are unemployed. Maybe you did lose your job. But he said, I will rebuke the devourer and give you another job. I will give you favor with the human resource department. I was fired as a mailman from the post office. He gave me a check, gave me two additional checks. That's why I knew something was up. And said, well, Anthony, sometimes these things just don't work out. We're going to have to let you go. And I was so happy to have an opportunity and good benefits at the United Post Office Service. And they fired me, laid me off. Shortly after that, I get hired by FedEx, still there 30 years later, very close to a pretty good pension, pretty good retirement savings plan. I'm approaching those years. And nobody but God. When that one door shut, God opened another door. Are you hearing me tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
We're in a day, me and my coworkers and I talk about it often. We're kind of the last hurrah to have that traditional pension plan in place. Even the hires that got hired after me don't have the opportunity that I have and I had, and we work for the same company of FedEx. Now it's called a portable pension plan. I'm in the category of the traditional pension plan. So corporations and companies are even looking at the way they distribute retirement plans, 401ks, and RSP plans, because they're looking out for their best interests. But when you understand money, somebody's knocking. When you understand money, you understand there's principles that God wants us to operate by and God wants us to live by. So if you find yourself between jobs, find yourself struggling financially, find yourself sometimes not even understanding this principle that God has about giving. That's why I say give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I did not know that scripture in my unsaved days. I did not know anything about Malachi chapter number 3, will a man rob God? How can we possibly rob God? He said, you rob me when you don't give so my pastors can be taken care of, so my church can be taken care of, So clergy, you know, my pastor Rebecca and I are pastors that work. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We still work in the secular place and in the marketplace. Yet we have to get a word together. Yet we have to prepare a word. Yet we have to still marry people and baptize people and teach a Bible study and come on the prayer line. But yet we work a real job outside of the pulpit, outside of the church. We're not complaining. But God set up, amen. Remember the old churches used to have the parsonage, the place where the pastor and the first family would live? That was the mindset of God, that the man and woman of God can focus on the word and the duties of the church. And, you know, Malachi, he said, bring me into my house, bring money into the church, that there'll always be benevolence. There'll always be a place that the poor can come. There'll always be a place where people can come here, preach word. That's what your tenth, 10%, your tenth provides for the church of the living God. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. He had three main missionary trips that he took in the New Testament book. But even here, in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to look at verse number 8, but I'm going to go to verse number 9. Let's go to, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll go there first. But on his missionary journeys, the Apostle Paul had churches sown into his life. And one of those churches, you know, was unlike some of the other churches. One of the churches that gave him the most money was considered one of the poorer churches, one of the impoverished churches. But they gave and they sowed into the life of the Apostle Paul. Out of their lack, they were not rich, they were not wealthy like some of the other churches that gave to the Apostle Paul, but they knew he was doing the work of the Lord. And we're going to look at back at chapter number 8, how Paul looked at them and how he said God is going to favor you, just like the church at Thessalonica. These churches, many churches gave into Paul as he did the work of the Lord, where he didn't have to concern himself about money. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and get the idea as Paul writes about sowing bountifully, about reaping and sowing, the law of reciprocity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, looking at verse number 6. But this I say, he which sow sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. He says, don't give out of necessity. Don't even give out of your need. We're going to look at that woman that gave, Jesus said, gave more than most of those, and she was very poor. We're going to look at that text tonight and pull something out of that. But right here, he talks about when you sow a little's coming back. When you give a lot, you give a lot back. But he says, there are some people that tithe and give, and there are some people that sow, but they're not doing it with a cheerful heart. They're doing it out of necessity. They're doing it not wanting to do it. And God is saying, yeah, yeah, give me the money, but change your mindset. Change your heart about giving. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. Do it for the right reason. Because every good and perfect gift has come from above. Amen.
Amen.
Job said it this way. When God allowed the devil to take everything, his children, his animal, his sheep, his oxen, his money, his health, Job responds with something like this. Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust in him. And he also goes on to say, he know the way that I take. God knows. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. He know we got to pay our mortgages. He know we have to pay our car note. He know that the tuition is due. God know the amount of medical bills we have. God know the necessity and how much supermarkets cost for groceries and food. God understands the cost of health care and the cost of gasoline. Nothing surprises God. He understands inflation. God understands things like the cost of living. Amen, somebody. I'm trying to make it practical tonight. I'm trying to just make this thing simple as possible. I just want to talk tonight. You know, there's so many scriptures that talk about money. There's so much in the Bible that talks about money. That's why he said you can't serve me and money. We have so many people that say, and I understand in today's society, unlike in years past, Sunday has become a work day, unfortunately. There was a time where people really honored the Sunday as a Sabbath. That day is gone. Everybody right now is trying to stay in business. They're trying to compete in the marketplace. They're trying to create revenue for their company. So Sunday has become a work day. It was not like that always. But for the Christian that have to work on Sunday, I say it often, for the believer that has a scheduled Sunday as a work day, God knows you need that money. And he's saying, get your foot in the door and take that job. But once you get your foot in the door, once you secure that job, when you get in there, work as unto the Lord. Don't stay on a cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Go above and beyond your job description.
Yeah.
Show them that you are there to work and not lollygag and play around. You're not there to socialize or make friends. You're taking this opportunity seriously. You work as unto the Lord. So when your supervisor or your manager is not watching, it's not time to just, yes, Pastor said, goof off. You know, we tell people to, you know, shut the cell phone down in church and don't even have it on vibrate. I'm going to say the same thing at work. You're at work. Your friends who are unemployed or possibly not at work are now allowing you to jeopardize your employment by contacting you while you're trying to work. That's not the time to read the text. You're at work. That's not time to go back and forth on social media. You are supposed to be focused in at work. Concentrate on the task at hand. This is when technology gets in the way of that thing called integrity. Integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. Amen, somebody. It's what, that's my simplest definition for the word integrity. How are you acting when nobody's looking? What do you do when the cameras are off or when you know nobody's watching? So, you know, I've been at my company for over 30 years, and I thank God, you know, I don't have an easy job. Some days my wife will tell you, my family will tell you, I come home exhausted. I make pretty good money, but I do not have an easy job. And whether you have a blue-collar job or what they call a white-collar job or a little bit of both, it does not matter. Work as unto the Lord. He says right here, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? And so you shall have all sufficiency. That means he'll give you money to pay your mortgage and your car note. He'll give you money to put your kids through college. He'll give you and your spouse. I don't know if my wife wants to talk about this, but, you know, sometimes we teach premarital classes, and we try to just give people what works for us. And we don't tell them what to do with their money. That future fiancé or that future husband and wife, we do not tell them what to do with their money, but we counsel and we recommend what works for us. And what works for us and what has worked for us in over 21 years of marriage is that her money is my money and my money is her money. Amen, somebody. They're not separate bank accounts. There's no hiding my portion under the mattress. There's no separate hidden savings and checkings account just in case the marriage don't work out. No, we don't have a safety net like that in our marriage. Her money is my money, and my money is her money, and all our money is lumped together. Now, I've seen couples. I've seen marriages. I don't know how you run your marriage. I'm just sharing what works for me. And we have, you know, people that we know. They have houses, they have cars, they look like it's working, and I don't know. But I see problems arising sometimes. If my salary is not as big as your salary, I'm saving all this money and we marry and I'm not saving as much money, that can cause a problem. Because the two shall become one flesh, my Bible tells me.
Yeah.
Amen. So we becoming one. It can't be two different bank accounts, two different incomes. We're becoming one. And I've seen it cause a lot of problems even in the institution of marriage. But that's how we run our household. I don't know how I got off on that because we're talking about finances tonight. I'm not going to stay there. I'm just saying as we counsel couples, we don't tell them what to do. We just tell them what works for us and has worked for us in 21 years. And we still have our home that we've been in for 18 years. We still have, we just purchased a beautiful automobile by the blood, oh, I saw the Holy Ghost, by the blessings of Almighty God. He meets all of our needs, but he also gives us some of our wants. Hallelujah. Kere'e kobo uta. Got me speaking in tongues. Because me and Pastor Rebecca, we, last year when we drove down North Carolina, the car that we had, my Altima broke down on the way back. This year when we went to North Carolina, we had a lot more confidence because God gave us a new vehicle and we drove down there in luxury and it was a nice trip. We stopped and ate and enjoyed the scenery on the ride to and from, stayed at a beautiful hotel, had a great time in North Carolina for about 4 days. It was really good. But the drive through North Carolina and Washington and Virginia and Maryland and Delaware and New Jersey, the drive to and from North Carolina was nice because this vehicle that God has blessed us with, it cost a lot of money, but we thank God for it. Amen? Because we both work hard, and we thank God that we have some of the nice things that we want out of life. Looking at chapter number 8, we're still in 2 Corinthians. Now we're looking at chapter number 8. But be that cheerful giver. At our church, Pastor Rebecca and I, you know, we take, we give, and we take one offering in our services, and we give the people one opportunity to give during the tithes and offerings part of the service. And we thank God for every tithe at New Creation Church. Those who give on a prayer line, those who are givers at the local church, we thank God for you. And believe me, from the bottom of our hearts, every dime, every dollar, every 10, every 100, every 1,000 counts. So we've been at our location that we are now 4 years this month. It'll be 4 years that we've been in the city of Hillside this month of August. And that's through your faithful giving, and we thank God for it. But Paul, on one of his missionary trips, had this perspective as he writes to the church at Corinth. Listen to what he says in chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Now he's writing this to the church of Corinth, which was a wealthy church. They had a lot of money. The church of Corinth was a pretty wealthy church. Look at verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. You have begun before not only to do, but also to do forward as you go ahead. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. Paul is kind of admonishing them. Get this willingness to do what I'm asking you to do as far as it relates to giving. Look at verse number 12. For if there be a first willing mindset or willing mind, if it is accepted according to that a man has and not according to what a man does not have. Paul says, I'm not concerned about the amount of money you have. I'm not interested in who has a lot or who have a little, but I'm asking you to develop the right mindset as it relates to giving. Verse number 13, for I mean not that other men are eased and you are burdened. I'm not telling people that they're looking for the rich to give and the poor not to give. I'm looking for everybody to do something. I say it all the time. If some do some and some do some, it will not be so hard on some. Amen. You know, a lot of our churches really believe in this principle that's out there, the 80-20 rule. That 80-20 rule, whether it's corporate America, the church, business, personal, that 20% of whoever sustain whatever. In other words, they think that's the way the church is. 20% of the people who give sustains the church. And a lot of people don't tithe, a lot of people don't give, a lot of people don't sow. But I don't believe in that. And not a new creation. We're looking for 100% tithing church. We're believing God for 100%, glory be to God, I feel the Holy Ghost, tithing church. So if you're not there, start by giving. Start by giving offerings. But some of the scriptures that we shared tonight about will a man rob God and give and it shall be given to you. I have given you the ability to get wealth because I want to establish a covenant. God wants us to do the right thing with our money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's in your heart as it relates to giving and money? Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, I need you to have a mindset to give. From the poorest to the richest, I need you to understand God expects us to give. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We want to look at what I wanted to share about what Jesus was looking at here in Mark chapter number 12, verse number 41. Go to Mark chapter number 12, verse number 41. Mark chapter number 12, looking at verse number 41. God told me a long time ago, and I'm still believing God, that He is going to allow me to experience wealth before I leave this earth. I'm talking about in the area of money. Amen. In the area of money. And I haven't left this earth prematurely, so I know He's going to honor His word. He put that in my spirit when we had the church in the living room, that you will experience great wealth before you leave here. And I'm still believing God that He's going to do that. And I believe it's going to happen supernaturally. Amen. I can work another 30 years at FedEx, but the kind of wealth that He showed me, it's beyond that kind of salary that I get annually. But looking at Mark chapter number 12, verse number 41, Mark 12, verse number 41 says this: "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast their money into the treasury. And many who were rich cast in much." Jesus sat there and watched them, and a lot of rich people gave a lot of money. Verse number 42. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites." Some translations say two pennies, "which make a farthing. And He called unto His disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow, who cast more in than all of they which have cast in to the treasury. For all of them, or all they, cast in out of their abundance. But she, of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." When I first got to the church, I used to hear this phrase: "If you have a need, sow a seed." If you have a need, sow a seed. Talking about money now. And I think they got it from this text right here. It says she gave out of her want. She needed something. So she gave her last, believing God for a miracle. And Jesus saw the rich people giving in abundance. But how many of you know, even in our day, there are some people who are wealthy who still don't give out of their abundance. And God is looking and saying, "I need every Christian, every believer, everyone who calls himself a child of God, to honor me with their money, rich or poor or anywhere in between, middle class, upper middle class, lower middle class. God expects us to honor Him with our money." It's amazing how on our money in the United States it says, "In God we trust." If I don't have my wallet right now, and I don't have Pastor Rebecca, we got so many credit cards, and it's becoming a plastic type world. People don't carry cash like they used to, but it's still on a dollar bill, the $5 bill, the $10 bill, the $20 bill, the $100 bill. It's on there. In God we trust. Because the founding fathers knew, as we print money in the treasury, as we print money out of the U.S. Treasury, we need to be reminded that it's not about this money that's going to exchange hands. It's not about commerce, about buying and selling. It's not about, in the name of Jesus, what we believe we can do. But in God we trust is what the founding fathers of this nation believed in. So they wanted us not to put our faith in money, but to keep our faith in God. So it's right there on our money as you go and purchase food or buy a car or pay tuition or even give your tithes and offerings. It's right there on our money. In God we trust. So as I close out tonight, put your trust back in God. Pastor, what's the correct time? To God be the glory. We got to put our trust back in God. Don't trust in money. To God be the glory. We thank God for these Word Wednesdays. And as we talked about faith, family, and finances, God is concerned with every area of our lives. He's concerned about the family. He's concerned about marriages and children and parents, even our extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins, nieces and nephews. God loves the family. He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. We may revisit this series. We may pick it up again next week. I don't know. And as it relates to money, as we talked about tonight, God wants us to honor him with our money, and he wants us to have a good life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So as we prepare for August 20th, that's when I'm going to release my book, Victory Over Cancer. Hallelujah. Victory Over Cancer. My book will be launched. My book will be released. My book is coming out officially this month on August the 20th. We're going to have a powerful service beginning at 1 o'clock. Pastor Jerry Wilder from Restoration Church up in Paterson, New Jersey, will be our guest preacher. He's going to bring the word powerfully. He has an awesome testimony. He is a powerful man of God. He's going to preach the word. You will hear from Pastor Rebecca and myself throughout the day. And right after the service, I'm going to be autographing and signing and selling my book, Victory Over Cancer, Winning Every Life Battle. Winning Every Battle in Life. That's the subtitle. Because God gave me victory over cancer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a cancer survivor, and I am cancer-free today. I had my final colonoscopy in April of this year. I'm about to cry and weep right now. And as I woke up from the anesthesia, Dr. Brelvey, he's the one that performed my wife's colonoscopy, and she recommended him to me. I woke up, and he was there by my bedside, and he said to me, you have a clean bill of health. We didn't even find any polyps that we had to remove. Those are those little growths, pimple-like, zit-like growths that can turn into cancerous cells, that can turn into abnormal cells, that can turn into cancer. He said, I did not have to remove one polyp. I feel the Holy Ghost. God said to me, this enemy you will see no more. Cancer will not come back into this body. I decree and declare it in Jesus' name. But I pray if you are in the New Jersey area, please tell somebody about August 20th, 1 p.m., 1482 Maple Avenue, New Creation Church. Be there. It's going to be food and fellowship and fun after the service. This book is going to be a blessing. Not just cancer. If you know anyone who's sick, anyone who needs a miracle of healing, anyone on dialysis or kidney failure, renal failure, diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, irregular organs, kidney, liver failure, prostate cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, abnormal tumors. They want to read this book. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing.
Amen.
I believe God's going to get the glory out of this book. And after you read it, you'll see it's all about God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Everything in this book is pointing to Jesus. And I pray it's pointing people right there to God. Is going to save souls, not just get them healed, but I pray many people give their life to Christ through this book. I feel the Holy Ghost, Pastor. This Sunday, we will also be at New Creation Church, 1482 Maple Avenue. If you are local, please come to the service starting at 12:30 p.m. Word Wednesday, tell somebody about Word Wednesday, 7:30 Bible study. Tell somebody about the prayer line. Tuesday, if you have an automobile, fill your car up with people and bring them to church on Sunday. Thank you for your giving. I'm asking those of you who can to continue to sow a seed, a portion of your money into New Creation Church. We do need it. Pastor shared last night on the prayer line, we now have a musician and we need your faithful giving to keep this musician. And we thank God for this opportunity. And we thank God for you tonight.
Amen.
So I praise you in advance for your faithful giving as you continue to sow into New Creation Church as we do the work of the Lord. Well, we thank God for you. We love you. And we believe that your family, your finances, your faith has gone to a new level as we are going to continue in this series or maybe move on to something else next week. We're not sure. We're going to let the Lord lead us because he may tell us to revisit some of these things that we shared because repetition is the mother of learning. We learned that a long time ago. Sometimes when you hear something once, it don't stick. But if you hear it over and over and over again, the principle becomes a part of us. Amen. God bless you. Good night. Love you. God bless.
Amen.